This is Jay Sekulow. More breaking news on the IRS and Benghazi. My guest, Congressman Mike Pompeo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Who's been fired over the targeting of conservative groups by the IRS? No one that I'm aware of. Who's gone to jail for violating the law? When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth? They've not told them the truth about Benghazi. They've not told the truth about the IRS. They've not told the truth about Fast and Furious. Now, only one would have to guess. If they're not willing to tell the American people the truth, it must not be very pretty.
Today, Congress is set to vote on whether to hold Lois Lerner in contempt. Will that happen today?
Yeah, late this afternoon. Lois Lerner, for somebody who says that she wanted to remain silent, certainly did an awful lot of talking. We also know that she went and spoke to the other branch of government. Again, as many have pointed out on our side of the aisle, she waived her Fifth Amendment rights.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is all about getting to the truth. It's not going to be a sideshow. It's not going to be a circus. This is a serious investigation. Listen, our system of government depends on transparency and accountability. We owe it to the future of our country and to the next administration to do our job, to make it clear that the types of activities that may have gone on here are not acceptable in our system of government.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, is that the best we can do in the United States of America? Dude, that was like 2 years ago. I know we've played that two or three times over the last few days. But I'm going to tell you, this is who's running our government. Dude, that was like 2 years ago. Talking about Benghazi and the changing of the talking points. We've got a lot of news. We've got the Benghazi situation with a select committee being formed. We have the IRS looking like that the contempt proceedings will move forward against Lois Lerner. And we're taking your calls on all of these cover-ups in Washington, D.C. at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. What do you think's really going on here, and why the cover-ups? 1-800-684-3110. David French is with me here in our studios and our media center. Jordan and Than are in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Washington first. First with Jordan and Nathan, your sense of the latest developments on Benghazi and the IRS situation since yesterday. Jordan first, then Than.
Well, I think it's good that we know that it will be bipartisan, seven Republicans, five Democrats. The Democrats and Nancy Pelosi were calling for this even split. And, of course, that was pretty ridiculous from the start anyways because of the makeup of the House of Representatives. But the idea that there will be Democrats participating, I think will add to the scope of the fairness and the sense that, you know, this is a serious investigation. It's different than even some of the House committees and how they conduct themselves. This is a full-time staff that will be dedicated to getting to the truth and building a timeline for all of us.
Yeah, and I would just add, Jordan brought up the seven Republicans, five Democrats. Adam Schiff called this a colossal waste of time. So what is Nancy Pelosi going to do? Is she going to put those five Democrats on this committee? Or is she going to leave them open? What will happen? If she leaves them open, will Speaker Boehner fill them, or will those be empty seats? But Jordan is right. Democrats need to come to the table. They need to find answers for the four Americans who were killed. That vote will take place tomorrow.
David, you, of course, serve in the military. But let's very quickly here, because we're running really tight on time. Your sense of the significance of the select committee?
It's incredibly significant. It's a matter of national honor at this point. I mean, we left Americans behind to die alone without help from the world's greatest military. It's a matter of national honor to figure out what happened.
All right, folks, we want answers to this, and that's where you come in. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110, but in just a couple of days, 43,000 people have already signed our open letter demanding this special select committee on Benghazi, headed by our friend Trey Gowdy. ACLJ.org to add your name, or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. I encourage you to make that call today or go to the ACLJ website and sign on to this open letter. We want to get it over 50,000 by the vote tomorrow. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Thank you. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
So you got a partisan fight going on here in Washington, which it should not be. It's a select committee. It should be seven Republicans, five Democrats. Stan, they're trying to change those rules right now. The Democrats are. With this fake protest.
Right. I mean, Nancy Pelosi says she wants it to be 50-50. I think she forgets how the House was run just a few months ago, literally, when she ran this thing. I mean, it was far more dictatorial then. This is how it works. If you have a majority in the House, you get a majority of seats on these type of committees. 7-5. Listen, Democrats should come to the table, and they should find the truth. But instead, they're saying it's a colossal waste of time. It's a travesty. It's a sham. Jay, four Americans died. That's not a travesty, a waste of time. Or a sham. It's serious business.
All right, let's play a soundbite here. I'm going to find out which one would be the best one. Probably number six here. This will give you the sense of how the Democrats are reacting to this. Number six.
You are in the House where they're preparing to vote on a select committee on Benghazi. How do you plan on voting on that? And what do you think of the idea of devoting precious time, resources, and attention to the select committee?
I'm going to vote against it, and I'm going to call up a famous political consultant, Fielding Mellish, with attribution to Woody Allen, who just created him. And he would say that this committee is a travesty of a mockery, of two travesties of a sham. And that's what it is. I mean, it's absurd. This is ludicrous.
You know, there are four dead Americans here. We don't have any answers. And I got the guy on tape saying, dude, that was 2 years ago, who allegedly, apparently rewrote that memo. When I hear this, it's mind-boggling to me that they think they can get away with this. But nevertheless, I mean, David, you're sitting here shaking your head. They're acting like they're going to. The question will be, do they actually sit it out? I mean, do they listen to Nancy Pelosi and say, you know what, we're not going to participate, period?
You know,
high risk.
It is very high risk, because then that leaves the Republicans to ask all of the questions. You know, they can call this a travesty as much as they want, but there are unanswered questions, key unanswered questions. Among them, why was there no help sent to Americans under fire? Let's not forget, this was not just one short, quick attack. This was a long attack,
yeah.
And there is a lot of people wanted an answer to that question.
And that is true. Now, the fact is, you know, Jordan, what do you think? Give me your best prognosis here of what's going to happen with the committee. Do you think the Democrats will seat anybody?
You know, I think that Nancy Pelosi's got an interesting situation. And one, she said she wanted Democrats on it, so Speaker Boehner said, there you go, and this vote will allow for five Democrats. So they will really like their stonewalling if they don't take part. That being said, it's got to be good faith, because if they get there and they try to dismantle this from within, I mean, it's a very careful process at the outset But I think it's the right way to start. You start this way, and listen, if they won't cooperate or if they're not trying to do this in good faith, then you can move on and try to reformat the committee. But I think making them take these choices to decide who will sit there is extremely important.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls, of course. And also, if you want to sign on to our open letter, the vote, Than, the vote you expect tomorrow?
The vote on Benghazi is going to be tomorrow, yes. The vote for Lois Lerner will be tonight.
So we're going to have a vote on Lois Lerner tonight, the vote on Benghazi tomorrow. Folks, you go to ACLJ.org. Sign on to that open letter. It is critical. We're going to have the votes tomorrow, so this is really today, tomorrow. At ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go to the phones, Jordan.
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire on line 2. Dave, welcome to JSecio Live here on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. Thanks for staying on top of this.
Sure.
I really hope that they bring out the video evidence that they have, because they had network DVR cameras in that building. The evidence was clear. In one of the clips they show, you see all the DNC cables hanging out of a cabinet. That's the stuff I put in. That stuff is remotely accessible, and you know that they have every...
They were watching this, David, and David is a JAG officer in the United States Army, so he was served in Iraq. I mean, they were watching this in real time.
I mean, those are the reports that they had drone coverage of the attack. I mean, there was real-time intelligence about this attack, and it was coming also just from the verbal reports of people on the ground. They had ex-Navy SEALs on the ground. These are people who are trained to report and to, you know, in addition to combat the enemy, and trained to report with precision. So they knew what was happening here.
So, Jordan and Than, here's the question, I guess, in your area right now in Washington. So the question is going to be, Trey Gowdy's going to head this committee up. It's going to get obviously staffed. What is the time frame on all of this, and do they get a dedicated staff for this? How is this going to actually work?
Well, yes, they will have a dedicated staff, all with security clearances. I think this is important for people to note. So different than the other four main committees who have been investigating this, this will be that staff's only job. And so we know there's thousands of documents that have been released, some that have now been that were redacted, that were unredacted, putting back this timeline together so that everyone out there, it's not about saying, okay, well, we got a new email this week, or like what happened last week with the email, and so now let's try to put it into the timeline and put it into the everything else that's happened. Now we're going to have a committee whose full-time task, and the staff's full-time task, and they all have security clearances, is to put that timeline together to get the information. What we know is that now they're a court, and the judge is willing to get these documents to answering the FOIA request. The Obama administration knows they're going to have a tough time fighting back on that, getting more information, but putting it all into a timeline with a dedicated staff is going to build a real narrative here that will tell the whole story or lack of what happened. I mean, we have to remember the situation where there are still reports that the State Department never responded to the military's request for how do they want them to proceed, that they gave deference to them. How was that the case? Was there internal discussion at the State Department ongoing, trying to make a decision, yet that decision was never made? Why weren't they alerted? Why, you know, what did Hillary Clinton do after that phone call with Gregory Hicks? Could the military have gotten involved? Who made these decisions? Why is the video? Where is that popping up? Because I really doubt that Ben Rhodes came up with that on his own.
Yeah, and here's another question. I'm going to get fans comment on it. Let me play it. This is a question between, again, Brett Baer and Vitter. Here it is. Where was the president? Number 19.
Then when Hillary Clinton talks to him by phone at 10 p.m., he's where?
I don't know. I don't have a tracking device on him in the residence.
But you were in the Situation Room, and
I wasn't there. Yes, I was in the White House.
And the president was not in the Situation Room?
Not in the room I was in.
So that begs the question. I mean, all of these need to be answered. Who is making the decisions on this? All right, back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Again, sign on to that open letter. When you hear these comments from the administration officials, you should be outraged. So take action, demanding that we get this committee, this select committee in place, and it would be important to get Democratic support for this. And I can't believe they're trying to turn this into this is nothing but politics. No, this is nothing about getting to the truth. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jay in D.C. on line 4. Jay, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
A really unbelievable situation. I just like to say to the character and the other characters in the White House, dude, where's my country? Dude, where's your common sense? I'd also like to say,
I just can't believe, I'm gonna let you finish in a minute here. I just can't believe that they put somebody on national TV, the White House, that said that. Dude, that was like 2 years ago. I mean, on a major newscast, that's what they're doing, but go ahead.
I mean, I know he's a promoted van driver. He must have been in the party van, but I mean, I see charges of malfeasance against.
Now, you know what? Let me tell you what it is. Elections have consequences. This is the consequence of the election we're dealing with, David.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the reality is, this is the kind of people that they appoint because this is their vision.
I mean, look, this is what happened. There was a fantastic timeline in National Review yesterday that showed that the tracking poll at the point when this attack occurred was a one-point difference. The White House is in full spin mode about its ability to vanquish al-Qaeda. And then this happens. And I think, frankly, honestly, what happened is they panicked politically. And they were going to go with an answer to why this occurred, that no matter what the evidence, and they were going to go with this no matter what the cost or toll to their honor. I mean, I cannot believe that they blamed a video for these attacks, even as they welcomed these brave Americans home who gave their lives in service to their country. They're still spinning politically as if the thing that really matters is the election rather than the loss of American lives overseas.
Well, the fact is that's exactly what they did, and I'm going to ask Jordan again quickly, and we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. What will be the political fallout if the Democrats boycott this Benghazi committee?
Well, you know, it just makes them like they're trying to cover up, and in, you know, that again, leading into the midterm elections would make this even different than just being about the White House and President Obama or even former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. But now it makes it about the members of the House of Representatives. Remember, every one of these members of Congress who could potentially be on this committee, including those five Democrats, is up for re-election in November.
So it becomes a political issue. All right, folks, we come back from the break. Your calls, and we're going to also be joined by Congressman Mike Pompeo, so you're not going to want to miss that as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110, and we will have his full interview in the second half hour. You're not going to want to miss that. As we go to a break, have your voice heard, dude. That's what the guy said. I mean, he used dude in describing the situation in Benghazi. Does that not tell you something? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air if you want to sign on that open letter demanding that we get a select committee, ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, check us out on Facebook, like us on Facebook, share us on Facebook as well. Very important that you do that, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this letter.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
So David French had a comment about the dude guy. What is his title, by the way? This is a guy that's got a. He's the National Security Commission's spokesperson. He's the for the National Security Council. He is the spokesperson, or at least one of the key spokesperson. But David, you said a guy saying dude in the.
What's a guy that's like that? His dude that was 2 years ago doing in the Situation Room. I mean,
yeah, that's a scary thought.
You know, we had a bunch of young guys in our tactical operations center in Iraq, and I never one time heard, dude, we're under fire. I mean, that's unprofessional, unbelievable.
But this is who they are, and that's the way it is. All right, so we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right back to the phones.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Roger in Florida, line 3. Roger, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Roger.
Well, how y'all doing this afternoon, sir?
Good.
I'm an ACLJ member. And
we appreciate that.
I guess you gave a small contribution yesterday.
Thank you.
My question was, with all these scandals and the obstruction from the Obama administration, do you think it's a possibility that he doesn't really care about our country at all?
Well, no, I think he has a different vision for how he views America. I mean, this is all these political policies and processes and the way that they've engaged the Middle East is their vision. I mean, that's what they're trying to – they're not hiding who they are, Than. This is what they do.
Yeah, I think it's proof positive that they're putting politics ahead of their policy. I mean, their policy failed. They were not willing to admit it. They just insisted on putting politics first.
Well, remember in that email, they said, we want to make sure everybody understands this is not a foreign policy failure. That was part of the spin control here.
Right. Well, it's the only thing they were concerned about. And honestly, let's broaden this out a little bit. This is what House Democrats are doing, too. I mean, you have Adam Schiff calling it a colossal waste of time. You have Steve Cohen making fun of it. Listen, when four Americans die, that is not a colossal waste of time. That is something that is the sacred duty of the United States Congress and the White House to get to the bottom of it. So, you know, they can spin it as politics all they want. This is serious stuff, and it's time they start taking it as such.
All right, so the question's going to be, and I think this is the reality of what we've got to deal with here, Jordan, is the impact of all of this, when you look at the policy failures, you look at the email where it says, we don't want this to be perceived as a policy failure, this isn't the president being naive. This is the president getting his position out there in the way they think is most palatable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing here with Benghazi. And so this idea, again, that you've got a team of White House advisors. I mean, you look at the Fox emails that we saw come out today, mostly redacted. But what you saw was a Fox story. It was the September 27th, so later on in this process, that said that they knew that it was an act of terrorism, you know, within 24 hours. And you have you have now the head of the CIA on the email. You have the National Security Advisor on the email. I mean, these are top White House officials who are going back and forth in at least 7 emails about a Fox News story and how to handle that. So, again, you know, it was the full White House team in spin control, but they were also using military and intelligence resources to carry out that spin, and that's the dangerous part right there.
And no doubt about it. All right, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Abe in Illinois on line 5. Abe, welcome to JSEC Yo Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Abe.
Hi, guys. The Democrats are not representing America, we the people. They are seeking the Democrat agenda. Thank you very much.
Well, let me tell you something, though, David. I know David French commented on this because they believe they are representing their constituent interests. And, I don't want to disparage the process. I could disagree with the policy, but this isn't some subterfuge. This is intentional policy decisions that the administration is making, whether it was the IRS scandal, whether it was Benghazi, whether it's the HHS mandate. These are intentional, not just political moves, public policy decisions.
I mean, look, these guys believe in their agenda.
Right.
And when it comes to Benghazi, when it comes to the Middle East and all that was unraveling, they still believe, even then, even now, they still believe in appeasing jihadists. And so one of the problems with the Benghazi situation was reality was intruding on their policy, but they still believed in their policy, and they were spinning and spinning and spinning to get four more years to implement that policy.
You're exactly correct. Listen to this little dialogue between the State Department spokesperson. Listen to this one, number 30.
How many more taxpayer dollars are we going to spend trying to prove a political point that in 18 months they haven't been able to prove?
I'm just not sure I understand why
because
the opposition...
Because everything that this committee would look at has already been looked at ad nauseum by multiple committees.
Okay, but if no
what's
one...
What's the point?
What's the point? You know, this is no different than, you know, what difference does it make? But the listen, I mean, the way that they communicate should speak volumes to everybody that's listening to this broadcast now. We're going right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are jammed. Who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Hector in Maryland on line one. Hector, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Hector.
Yes, hi, Jay. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, great.
And, I was outraged when this happened, you know, when we were seeing the situation over in Benghazi and, you know, the media and everything, and, you know, they came out and say that it was due to a video. Now, my question is, and I understand, I don't believe it was due to that video, but regardless, even if it was due to a video, wasn't it our responsibility or their responsibility to protect American lives over in Benghazi?
You're absolutely correct. First of all, it was not in response to a video. That myth has been completely ended. But yes, it was. You are correct that our job was to defend the embassy. I'm going to play a soundbite for you from a general that testified just the other day, and he made this statement, and David, I know you'll appreciate this, that when you've got a situation like this, you go where the fire's coming from. You don't ignore it. Listen to this. I'm going to get David's comment.
There are accounts of time, space, and capability, discussions of the question, could we have gotten there in time to make a difference? Well, the discussion is not could or could not of time, space, and capability. The point is we should have tried. As another saying goes, always move to the sound of the guns.
All right, David French, who's a major in the United States Army.
Look, that is exactly right. When I was in Iraq and we had a report of troops in contact, we moved heaven and earth to get people there to help. Whether they could get there in time or not, from the very moment we knew our brothers were under fire, we were in motion. And there is no doubt in this circumstance, nobody was in motion. Nobody was moving. Nobody was trying. And now they say, oh, well, we couldn't have got there anyway. Oh, really?
Yeah, Jordan, quickly here. By the way, folks, we're here for another half hour. Your phone lines are jammed. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Jordan, let's look at we've trying to avoid the political consequences of this, but let's talk about the political consequences of this whole Benghazi matter. Quickly.
Well, I think it's a House Democrats making this a midterm election issue if they are not careful, because they can quickly insert themselves into something that really was the White House and the State Department and the executive branch who was making decisions, and well, not members of Congress. But if they start looking like they are trying to stop this investigation or muddle this investigation not act in a good faith manner, then quickly this becomes a midterm election for them.
I think Jordan's absolutely correct. This is potentially becomes a political issue, not because the Republicans are making it a political issue, because the Democrats' failure to participate in getting to the truth makes it a political issue. All right, folks, we're taking more of your calls when we come back, but go ahead and sign that open letter demanding the truth on Benghazi. We've just had 48 hours more to do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, when you're at the website, make a donation to the ACLJ. We really appreciate it. By the way, March and April, we met our goals because of you. Thank you. Huge help there. We could use your help in May, too. Not a matching challenge, but every amount you donate is tax deductible, and we get to fight the fight, not just here on the airways, but around the globe in court and public policy as well. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And like us on Facebook. Very important you do that. Back with more in a moment.
Why all the women came and went.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. Our phone lines are jammed, but keep trying. You'll get through. 800-684-3110. We're talking about Benghazi, but we're also talking about the IRS matter. Lois Lerner, let's get an update on that. We expect the contempt vote today, Than. Is that correct, tonight?
Yeah, the debate on that citation is actually underway as we speak, Jay. That vote will probably come late afternoon or early evening, but definitely today at some point.
So she's held in contempt. And the reality is, I was asked this on Fox News today, what happens? And the fact is, the Department of Justice is not going to seek an enforcement of that contempt. So this is just the next step in either getting some kind of immunity deal with her where the pressure really is on, or litigating the issue of whether she waived her Fifth Amendment privilege.
Yeah, I mean, this is the House of Representatives doing their job, whether or not DOJ is going to do theirs or not. DOJ will have two chances, Jay, to do their job.
DOJ will not, but go ahead.
I agree, but they could pursue the contempt citation, or they could appoint a special independent investigator like the House is going to call for tomorrow. And you're right. I don't think DOJ will do their job, but that is not an excuse for the House of Representatives not doing theirs.
I think the House is doing exactly correctly, but David, the reality is that is not going to get this resolved.
Oh, no.
That's why our civil litigation is so important.
Absolutely. Our civil litigation is absolutely key. And I'll tell you one thing. The Democrats came out with their own little report, and they were trying to attribute this mass-scale persecution of Tea Party and conservative groups only to lack of clarity about the rules.
Yeah.
Are they kidding us?
50 years those rules have been in place.
And been utilized by liberal groups.
Forever.
Oh, exactly.
So, you know,
weren't clear then.
Yeah, it was awful clear for the last 50 years, but you are now all of a sudden not so clear.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got that situation now with the IRS trying to move forward with the rules that were, and again, the American people spoke out. You know, without the American people speaking out, those rules would be going into place right now. They'd be on a fast track. They could even try to get them into place before the midterm elections. I mean, there was an outrage from the American people in a way the IRS has never seen before. But, you know, it's far from over. And I really do believe that the ultimate outcome is, no, we don't expect the DOJ to take action on this. But what we do expect, and what we know, is that this continues to put the ultimate pressure Congress can put on Lois Lerner. They're taking every step possible. And unlike Attorney General Holder, she doesn't have the full force of the government behind her. And she's not set for life. And so, you know, she's got a situation where she will constantly have to weigh trying to come to some kind of deal and give Congress the information to sit down and answer their questions instead of continuing to go through this
process.
And
remember this also, in our civil litigation, if she takes the Fifth Amendment in a criminal case that can't be used against you, in a civil case, it's deemed an admissions of the facts in evidence, in dispute. So there would be serious ramifications for her on the civil side of this, which is why we're pressing forward with that litigation. Let's grab a phone call here before the break, 800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Greg in Virginia online, too. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, thanks, Jay, Jordan, all you guys. Listen, this is a disgrace to America. These politicians think they're untouchable. They are not. Through the ACLJ, all of us, we have a stronger voice than anyone realizes. This is working, but we got to stop thinking that everyone else is going to sign these petitions. I encourage everyone to drop what you're doing. Just take a few minutes. Sign the petition. Support you guys, what you do. Thank you for what you do. We got to unite. We cannot.
Well, Greg, I appreciate you saying all of that, and I want to also say that another good way for people to stay in contact with us is really important, folks, is through Facebook. We're finding that social media is a major outlet right now. We're at about 1,240,000 or so between mine, ACLJ's, and Jordan's. We have a big goal. We want to get on Facebook by the end of this year over 2 million likes. That means 2 million people could get access to us instantaneously at the American Center for Law and Justice Facebook page, mine and Jordan's. So we encourage you to like that as we take a break. Also, last day, today and tomorrow, to sign on to this open letter on Benghazi, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, share us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter also, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. I have a Twitter feed as well. Very important that you do that. And you can find all that information. You should be getting our email updates as well at ACLJ.org. Back with your questions in just a moment.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number if you want to talk to us on air, and a lot of people do, so we're going to go right to the phones right now. Who's next, Jordan?
Paul in Colorado on line 6. Paul, welcome to JSecio Live. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Good.
Just a quick observation on this Benghazi tragedy.
Yep.
Our government says that there wasn't anybody close to him that could have helped.
Yeah.
Israel had a straight shot across water to Benghazi. Why didn't nobody call them?
Israel could not get, this is my personal view here, and I've done work for the Israeli government, to be clear, and we've represented Israel's interests before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. To put Israel engaged in that would have it could have created a literal, I'm talking about a literal war in the Middle East.
Oh, absolutely.
Flying into Libya? I mean, I can't imagine.
Well, and we have F-16s in Aviano Air Base in Italy.
Right,
I mean,
just
that's
as close.
Straight shot across, the best, the best warplanes in the world, best trained pilots in the world, straight across the Mediterranean. As so far as we know, they weren't even told to activate.
So I mean, but putting Israel in it would have been really a non-starter. Good question, Paul, but it's not the way it could go. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yep, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Patrick in Colorado, line 3. Patrick, welcome to JSecio Live.
It's Patricia, I think, right? Oh, hey.
My question is, how many people did those two SEALs' lives did they save, and why isn't more talked about that? Because these are how many people Obama was willing to let die.
Yeah, well, this is a good question. We don't really know. I don't think the scope, and maybe this comes out, David, and when you do military intelligence, I mean, do we know the scope of what, in a situation like this, and that's why they're going to have a select committee, to find out also the heroism that was involved in this?
Well, you know, and that's one of the sad things about all the confidentiality that's been placed on the people who've been there, who lived through this.
They can't talk.
I would say she's exactly right. They lived through this because of the heroism of those SEALs who died. I mean, whenever you put up resistance to a terrorist attack, the terrorists will often back away. It will shortcut their plans. And, you know, from all accounts, this was a multi-hour battle that ended with far fewer Americans dead than otherwise would have died if not for the heroism of the men who did go to the sound of the guns, those people who are on the ground.
All right, taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Yep, right back to the phones we go. Stan in California, line 4. Stan, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Why don't you get a press conference with the families of the soldiers that lost their lives and demand
justice demanding.
I think that's part of, Jordan, politically part of the process is for these families, they are speaking out, but that is going to be a big part of this.
Yeah, I mean, the military side has been more quiet because, of course, the chain of command. So you have to, I think, take that into account that the Navy SEALs in their situation, you know, their families directly questioning that. It's just not precedent. What you do see is, again, the ambassador's family and the other individual who was the tech assistant to the ambassador, all of them, their families speaking out. And you may see some relatives of the military speak out as well. But it's really not. It's not about their testimony. They were not the ones making the decisions.
Right.
So ultimately, though they want the information, there's very little they can shed. So it doesn't. Their speaking out is not the crucial part.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's
right. It's more emotive. So, Fan, when the select committee, if the Democrats even boycott it, that committee's still being formed, correct?
Absolutely. It's going to be formed. The Democrats are going to have five spots on it, Jay. The question is whether or not they will show up. And let me just chime in real quickly on that last question. Even if those SEALs families, if they don't come forward, they probably won't. That's sort of in their code not to come forward. That's our job. We need to ask the question, why did those SEALs fight for nearly 7 hours without our government sending assistance? And frankly, why wasn't the President of the United States in the Situation Room sending that aid to them? Instead, you had, you know, the dude guy, Tommy Vitor, in the Situation Room making that call. That is our job, to stand up for the SEALs. You know, the families may decide not to, but we certainly can step in for them.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go down to Texas on line five.
Yep, Carrie in Texas. So welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello. I'm just surprised that everybody's wondering why the president wasn't in the Situation Room. He's never been in the Situation Room. He resides in the Spin Room.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not going to get into that. He wasn't in the Situation Room then. Was he being briefed on it? You know, we're going to find all that out. I mean, it seems bizarre to us looking in, David, that he wasn't in the Situation Room. Having said that, he may have been being briefed every 30 seconds. I mean, we don't know. So that's part of what this investigation is going to determine. And then we'll determine why we didn't go rush to the scene, so to speak.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's. We don't know. We just don't know. They have kept quiet about this. We do know there was a phone call or two between President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton. That's what we know. We don't know exactly who made the orders, who made the calls on that night. Who said stand down? Did anyone say stand down? Why did no one say to the 31st Fighter Wing in Aviano, get some jets in the air? We just don't know the answers to that. We have to know those answers.
We're going to find that out. 1-800-684-3110. I'm trying to get Father Frank Pavone on the phone. He's got an event tomorrow on the HHS mandate. I'm going to try to get some of that information. Let's quickly take another call. Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Donald, South Carolina, line three. Donald, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Donald.
Hey, hi. This is Don Harper. We're so pleased with how you supported the Clemson Tigers.
Yes.
Well, Sweeney, and you guys did a great job in that. But I was calling. I've called before. I'm just thank you for bringing up Benghazi again, and thank you for how it's being handled. But didn't the President of the United States go to the UN and specifically talk about this video? I know we're talking about other people that blame the video.
Yeah, I mean, they all mentioned the video. So that myth is being – I appreciate your call. That myth is being put away. And that will come out in these hearings, and that's why it's so important to have the hearings. By the way, we got Father Frank Pavone on the phone right now. I want to talk to him live while we're on air here. Father Frank, you've got a big event tomorrow on the HHS mandate. Tell us what it is.
Yes, we do. And, Jay, it's great to be with you again.
You too.
As you know, we've been challenging this HHS mandate, and now it's going up to the appellate level. It'll be in the Court of Appeals there for the D.C.
Right.
Circuit. And this is the first of the religious nonprofit cases to reach that level and to be argued on the merits. We've been saying that, look, they're saying to us, look, we're accommodating your religious rights. Just sign this document that says you object and everything will be okay. As far as we're concerned, it's not okay, because then that document, in effect, authorizes the government to still provide that coverage for our employees. So, in other words, we don't want to be involved in the process at all. If the government wants to expand access to abortion-inducing drugs and contraceptives, he's going to have to do it without us.
You know, I think that you're taking the absolutely correct position, especially in your organization. I mean, it's ridiculous. Tell us about the event tomorrow.
Yes. Well, as the oral arguments are happening, we're going to have a rally outside of the Court of Appeals from 9 to 11. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers, starting with Senator Ted Cruz, other members of Congress, and other pro-life leaders. President of the March for Life will be there, President of National Right to Life. And what we're going to do during that time is we're going to talk to the folks who come and stand with us about the significance of this, about what they can do to stand with us and the other groups who are plaintiffs, and we're going to pray, of course, because right. The people who oppose this mandate are people of faith, people of prayer. So we're going to have that rally from 9 to 11 tomorrow morning. We hope that many can join us.
Yeah, well, look, we've got a big audience in the West Washington, D.C. area. In fact, we're on right now live, not only at SiriusXM, but in stations in D.C. So let me ask this, Father Frank, where will people meet, at what time, and we're going to try to get some people out there?
Be starting at 9 a.m. By the Meade statue outside of the Court of Appeals. So 333 Constitution Avenue Northwest is the address, and that's what we'll start at 9. But people can come from any time between 9 and 11.
All right, folks, we encourage you to do that. Father Frank, thanks for being with us. Thanks for that update. We'll be praying for your case, as we're praying for so many of these cases. And of course, we expect a Supreme Court decision really soon. But we wanted to get that information so people could support Priest for Life's work tomorrow with that prayer rally and between 9 and 11, right there on Constitution Avenue, 333 Constitution Avenue, literally right down the street from our offices. Very quickly, Jordan here, your anticipation, back on Lois Lerner for a moment, this will be the probably culminating event, at least, and then our litigation becomes the key.
That's right. I mean, you got in the next 24 hours, we're going to see the House vote on contempt. We'll see the House vote on the special prosecutor, right. Special counsel. And then when we see that move forward, listen, there will still be pressure on Lois Lerner. There may be discussions ongoing, as the chairman Isis said and the committee said, Oversight Committee said, that they will always try to get her to testify. So this could continue. That doesn't. Yep. So that means she could pop up again in that hearing room. But for the most part, what we've seen now is this is the culmination of the congressional round.
Which put our litigation front and center, folks, and the IRS, and we're proceeding away on that. By the way, coming up right now after the break, Congressman Mike Pompeo, he's going to talk about Benghazi. He's on the Intel Committee. So we're bringing you the people that are making decisions as this issue moves forward. Now with Trey Gowdy heading up the special committee. Again, sign on to that open letter. Last 2 days to do it, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255. And critical that you like us and share us on Facebook. Jay Sekulow's got one. That's me, American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan, like those. We want to get to 2 million. That's the goal. ACLJ.org if you want to sign on to that letter, or 877-989-2255. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and 3 other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Well, joining us right now on the phone is Congressman Mike Pompeo. And Mike, let me ask you this, Congressman, and this is because the Benghazi situation is really taking front and center right now. You're on the Intel Committee. What's your sense when that email came out last week?
Yeah. So I was very excited when the speaker announced that we were going to have a special committee. I actually think that the committees who've worked on it so far, one of them mine, the Intelligence Committee, the oversight folks, Armed Services folks, have done a good job of laying a foundational set of facts. We know some basic things. We know that security at the facility was grossly mismanaged by the State Department, Hillary Clinton's State Department.
Yep.
We know that we were misled. That is, we, the American people, were misled by the administration about the events that happened that night. There was never a time when they really believed that there was a video responsible for those events.
Right.
And we know that there's a lot more documents that haven't been turned over. And so I think those committees did a good job, but we need to now take it to the next level so the American people ultimately get the true story about how these four Americans were killed, so that we can, A, prevent it in the future, and, B, go capture the thugs who did it.
Congressman, I wanted to focus on the you mentioned the email releases, and let's talk about also specifically with a special select committee here. What, because it is a significant difference, but I want our audience to understand that when you focus it with a special committee like this, a select committee, the difference between a select committee and Intel committee and oversight, all of which are important, but this really focuses all of the efforts of that committee on one thing and one thing only, and that's getting to the truth of what happened in Benghazi.
That's exactly right. What you'll have is a team of folks, both members led by Representative Gowdy. There'll be seven folks, Republicans, on the committee, and five Democrats. It allows them to dedicate their time and their energy and the staff that comes alongside to help them to working the project. All right. When these other committees are engaged in it, there are clearly other tasks that they have to
right.
engage in as well. So when the administration delays and doesn't send a document or delays and refuses to send a witness, following up, chasing it down, getting to the bottom of it, really staying on an hour by hour or day by day basis can only be done in this kind of forum. And so I think it was important that we got a broad group of folks involved who went down DOD, went down through the intelligence community, went down through oversight in the State Department at the Foreign Affairs Committee. And now we've got a foundational place from which to build.
So let's talk about what happens. Let's first talk procedurally. There's going to be a call for a vote. You expect that to pass, correct?
I do.
Okay, so that vote gets in place, the committee gets in place. What do you think Democrats are going to do on this? Some are talking about boycotting the process.
I hope they don't. Republicans have, when we've been on the other side of this, have participated. The American people deserve them to participate in the process. They should work with us to try and get the facts. That's the objective. I know Representative Gowdy pretty well. I know precisely how he's going to behave here. He's going to work to get the documents, the testimony, and develop the facts so that the American people can get this story. And the Democrats ought to be part of that. I hope they'll reconsider. Initially, they were panning this as just nothing more than political theater. But the American people know better than that. This isn't about theater. This is about establishing a timeline, putting together a set of facts, and holding accountable the individuals who made decisions in and around the death of four Americans on September 11th, 2012.
So from a strategic standpoint, I'm talking about getting as far as the investigation goes itself. Do you expect, Congressman, that this committee solely focused on this will get to the bottom of what happened?
Well, yes. But having said that, I expect the administration to do its best to continue to obfuscate and to conceal. I hope that's not the case. I hope they come with open arms and say, hey, here's who said what to whom. Here's where these various decision makers were on the evening of the events. They share with us all of the materials that help us flesh out the facts surrounding what really took place. You know, Jay, I've had the chance now in a classified setting to interview all of the Americans who were on the ground that night, both employees of the government and contractors of the government who were Americans working there that night. There are stories that need to come from that. Our committee will ultimately issue a report as well. But we need to make sure that we get as much of that declassified as we can. There were stories about things that happened, some of them which are wonderful stories, great heroism from some of the folks who saved additional lives on the ground that night. I want those stories all to be told. I want the American people to have a great picture, and I think this committee will have an enormous opportunity to do just that.
All right, let's talk about the situation as it relates to the White House. You mentioned this, Congressman. I want to follow up on it. Do you anticipate, which we've seen so far, basically a White House block being put in place here as much as they can to deem documents classified so that you can basically they can stall at least through the midterms and beyond?
If past is prologue, I expect we will have to drag documents from their hands. I hope that's not the case. But I know that Representative Getty is prepared to do that if it's appropriate. If there are documents that the American people ought to have, he's going to work to make sure they do. There may well be things that ought to remain classified. So be it.
Yeah.
But I think the vast majority of the story should be able to be told in an unclassified setting. And I hope that the administration will acknowledge that. And frankly, from the perspective of disclosure and transparency, view this as being in their best interest to get this story told as well.
I want to play for you a soundbite that was an interview with Brett Baer over the weekend involving, again, one of the people with the National Security Administration, the press person, that was asked a question about the talking points and get your comments. Let me play it first.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the
Dude,
most mundane
it is the thing
process
that everybody is talking about.
So,
talking about
this is my question, Congressman. I mean, this comment is so outrageous. You know, dude, it was 2 years ago. That's why I anticipate that, and I've got complete confidence in Trey Gowdy on this, but he's going to have to put on his prosecutorial hat, which he's been, so he knows, to get to the answer. There's going to be a lot of this, hey, dude, that was 2 years ago stuff.
It harkens back to the famous line from then-Secretary Clinton about what difference does it make. Right, it's the same idea that an inquiry with respect to the death of four Americans is somehow illegitimate or inappropriate. The story that, gosh, you've been at this forever will absolutely be the theme that we'll hear from the administration. I hope the actors, I hope the folks who we'll be dealing with, who will have the chance as a body, our committee, the folks who will get a chance to do that, will get a chance to get to the bottom of this. This idea that it's somehow inappropriate to ask questions to figure out who made decisions that night will be quickly put to the side, and the American interest, the American people's right to know what happened will predominate. I suspect Mr. Getty will have to work very, very hard at this, but I'm confident that he and the committee that's selected will be able to do it.
Well, Congressman, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule today and appreciate your leadership on this issue. You've got the experience from a military background as a graduate of West Point and officer in the military as well. So you know what we're facing here. This was a big failure of both, I think, a significant failure in our protection of our embassies, obviously, and our personnel. I mean, at the end of the day, this is about four Americans that have passed away, were killed in the line of duty, and we don't have answers, and we hopefully will get them. Thank you, Congressman, for your leadership.
Thank you very much, Jay. Have a great day.
That's going to do it for the broadcast today, folks. Hey, listen, that vote's going to be coming out probably tomorrow. We want you to sign on to our open letter demanding the truth about Benghazi. 43,000 people have already signed on. That's at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And we encourage you to sign on to this open letter so we get a select committee formed, which looks like it's going to happen, and it'll get passed through the Congress. And Trey Gowdy, our friend from South Carolina, will be leading that charge. And that is very, very good news for as far as we're concerned. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Talk to you tomorrow.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.